identify yourself.
WCFW-FM and WCFW-HD1, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the entire Chippewa Valley.
Pacific Media Radio Station.
80s, 90s, and more. 105.7 CFW.
CFW. Chippewa Valley.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Did you know that even if you often hit the gym, sitting for extended periods could be silently sabotaging your health?
For individuals that were meeting the current recommended guidelines for physical activity, but sitting for 8+ hours, a majority of their day, it wasn't enough to really bring them out of those increasingly higher risk categories when it came to cholesterol and BMI.
Then, recent research finds a link between social media and rising depression symptoms in preteens.
They really try to keep you on the platform. Even if you wish not to spend 3 or more hours a day on it, the algorithms, I think, can suck you in. So I do think part of it is in the design as well.
Those two stories and more are straight ahead on this edition of InfoTrack. Stay with us. The show begins right after this.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a world parched for excitement, one drink will emerge. Twisted Tea, the refreshing thrill ride of flavor. Recreating its classic role as the hard iced tea that goes down smooth. Twisted Tea doesn't just taste like real iced tea, it's made with real brewed tea and a 5% kick of alcohol. Taste the adventure with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
The Home Depot has fast, free delivery on the perfect gift to help Dad do more this Father's Day. Because Dad is more than just a dad. He's groundskeeper of the yard, the perfecter of the patio, and the cleaner of the clippings. Power Dad's doing with Ryobi cordless outdoor power tools from the Home Depot. Like the Ryobi 40-volt string trimmer kit for $159. For everything Dad is, find the perfect gift at the Home Depot. Subject to availability, see homedepot.com/delivery for more details.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind, for all our customers, existing and new. We're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
You may work out, but if you sit all day, your heart may still be at risk. Brian Bruhlman is lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside, Department of Genetics, Genomics, and Bioinformatics. And he joins us to explain why getting up might be the healthiest move you make today. Ryan, what inspired this study on the effects of sitting, especially in younger adults?
I was really interested in this from a personal standpoint a little bit. Admittedly, during the COVID pandemic, I found myself sitting a little bit more, but talking with others around me, and I found even for younger individuals going to college or starting out their early careers, they had mentioned sitting a lot too, and it seemed to become more pervasive during the COVID pandemic.
How is sitting for 8 or more hours a day, how does that impact cholesterol and BMI?
What we found is that higher levels of sitting is associated with higher levels of cholesterol and BMI. And really what that's getting at is just sitting for a long period of time puts your body in a state of kind of where things are a little bit fragmented. You're not burning as many calories. You're just doing things that are not promoting getting up and moving around, which is good for your circulatory system. And that helps to normalize cholesterol levels, but then also burning those calories, which is really integral when it comes to things like BMI.
Were you surprised that even active individuals were negatively affected by long sitting hours?
Yeah, it was very interesting to see that there are good impacts for bringing down cholesterol levels, BMI, that are not surprising when you look at increasing physical activity times. But it was interesting to see that for individuals that were meeting the current recommended guidelines for physical activity, but sitting for 8+ hours, a majority of their day, it wasn't enough to really bring them out of those kind of increasingly higher risk categories when it came to cholesterol and BMI.
Ryan, how did you isolate sitting as a cause for increased BMI, independent of factors like diet and smoking?
In our models, we do ask participants if they are current smokers. We try to get an idea of what their diet is. Diet's a little tricky to get an idea, but we did get an idea of at least fruit and vegetable intake, so getting at a healthy diet. And then we included those. We included diet, we included smoking. We also controlled for their age as well as their gender as well. And those were included in the model. So those were all factored out on their own. But then looking there, sitting still stuck out as significant.
We're talking with Ryan Bruhlman, who is a researcher, lead researcher, and we're talking about this study of how sitting for too long every day is not good for your body. Ryan, what kind of activities would you say count as moderate versus vigorous in your study?
Yeah, moderate and vigorous are kind of a tough distinction, but I always tell people to kind of think about when you're doing a certain type of physical activity, if you could have a conversation with someone next to you while you're doing it, then it's generally going to be moderate or lower. If you feel like you're doing some type of physical activity, you know, you might start sweating a little bit, but you could still have a conversation, it's likely moderate. If you're doing something where it's tough, it's challenging, you can't say more than a word or two at a time, you can't have a conversation with someone next to you, it's probably more so leaning towards vigorous activity.
And what role did self-reported data play in the research, and how reliable is it?
Self-report was, we gleaned that when it came to sitting as well as physical activity. That was all based on self-report. Now, there have been studies that have brought up, is the self-report reliable? Is it not? And we have used self-report metrics that kind of glean at sitting at different times, different modalities. So at work, while they're traveling to different places. So we try to ask multifaceted questions, which tends to be much more reliable than just asking them, how many hours a day do you sit in general? Same thing with the physical activity. We kind of ask detailed questions to get at that, and that helps. But definitely further research is needed, particularly looking at things like fitness tracker data, whether it be with a Fitbit or an accelerometer or something like that, to kind of help back up these findings.
Now, can doing vigorous exercise make up for a sedentary lifestyle, for example, watching television for 6 or 8 hours at night? Or is reducing sitting time more effective?
So what we found is that really, ideally, what you want to do is reduce that amount of sitting time. That is just kind of the number one thing, that if you can reduce it, especially kind of so that way it's not the majority of your day, that's really optimal. But I understand that for some people, their jobs may not allow that, or you know, you get home from a long shift and you've had to sit at work all day and you're exhausted. But really what's key is if you can't reduce that sitting time, if it's just not feasible, really amping up that vigorous activity, going above and beyond what might be recommended. And generally 10 minutes a day is what's recommended. So if you're sitting for a long period of time, you might want to just run an extra mile or do a little extra rowing on a rowing machine or whatever vigorous activity you might do.
Did you notice any gender differences in how sitting affected cholesterol and BMI?
We did control for sex. There were some significances when it came to males versus females, but overall, sitting seemed to impact both of them, regardless of whether it was BMI or the cholesterol measures.
So what practical advice would you offer to younger adults listening who feel healthy, but they sit most of the day?
Yeah, I would just tell the younger adults, don't think that you're invincible. You know, you're young, and keep yourself young and in good overall health by thinking about your sitting times. Talk to your doctor about it or other health professionals and think about, how can I reduce my sitting time? Whether it be I get a standing desk. Oh, I get up during my lunch hour and do a little walking around after I eat something or before I eat something. Just finding little ways to reduce that sitting time, getting up and moving around a little bit, because every little bit does help. And really, communicating with your doctor about sitting time is a good step as well, even at your early ages, whether it be 20s, 30s, or beyond.
So I have to ask, having done this research, has this changed your lifestyle at all?
Yes, I definitely do have a standing desk now. So I alternate between the sitting and standing. Every once in a while, people will, on the Zoom calls, will hear a whir, and it's just me moving my desk up. So yeah, I've definitely done that. And I've also found that the vigorous activity really does help break up things. If I've had a long day of work and I go for a run, I almost give it like a plumbing analogy. You know, your pipes are clogged, so to speak. Not to say that your arteries would be clogged, but just that things kind of feel a little bit stagnant. And I think that that vigorous run, the vigorous activity that I do, at least, I feel much more clear-minded after. It really does feel better overall.
Good advice. Ryan Bruhlman, lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Next, social media is linked to preteen depression.
That story, straight ahead.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your boat, boat wins.
What are you going to do? Take the boat out for a spin or go mail something?
Boat wins!
Are we cleaning the patio or taking the boat out fishing?
Boat wins!
Are we skipping that eye exam to go sailing?
Boat wins!
Rescheduling eye exams can be a nightmare.
All right, fine. Eye exam, then boat.
Yeah!
With Progressive, you can bundle your boat with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings on your boat. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states and situations.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle, that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
This Father's Day, help Dad be all he can be with a gift from the Home Depot. Because he's not just Dad, he's the handyman of the house. The plumber in a pinch. And the emergency mechanic. Upgrade his gear this Father's Day with the Husky Mechanics 270-piece tool set from the Home Depot. Now on special buy for $119, a $695 value. For every kind of dad, find the perfect gift this Father's Day at the Home Depot.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind. For all our customers, existing and new, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Now, back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
If you use social media, you've no doubt noticed how its algorithms can keep you hooked. InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thank you, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Jason Nagata, associate professor in the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Pediatrics. Dr. Nagata, you found that as preteens used more social media, their symptoms of depression increased. Can we go so far as to say that this proves social media use causes depression in kids?
I do think that one of the big unanswered questions in the field is, what comes first? Does social media lead to higher risk of depression? Or is it just that kids who are already depressed using social media more? Our study, which included almost 12,000 preteens, followed them for 3 years, did find that rises in social media use, and we found big rises on average in the sample, social media use increased 10 times from 7 minutes to over 70 minutes. That then predicted future rises in depression, and we were able to see this over time. Now, does this cause? That's a strong statistical question. And I will say that this is a risk factor. And so, you know, there are many other things that can lead to depression, like genetics or the pandemic or other big factors. I do think that social media is only a risk factor. It doesn't mean that everyone who uses social media will become depressed. But it is a behavior that, to some extent, we can change, whereas we may not be able to change genetics or the the pandemic. So I do think it's a really important risk factor.
And so if you were to characterize the need to find root causes, including possibly social media use, what would you say, given that the Centers for Disease Control reports the rate of youth suicide nearly doubled in a recent 14-year stretch?
Yes, I do think that, unfortunately, rises in depression do also eventually lead to rises in suicide in some teens. And actually, in our study, we did find specifically that experiencing cyberbullying or being bullied on social media was linked with a greater than 2 times greater risk of attempting suicide the following year. So I do think that it is implicated even in the suicide youth crisis.
So cyberbullying would be a marker or a potential contributor to depression in kids. What about disrupted sleep or some of the other reasons why social media might increase symptoms of depression in kids?
Sleep is absolutely so important for mental health as well as physical health. We already know that most teenagers don't get enough sleep, and social media definitely can displace that. We found that kids who use social media right before bedtime, it leads to less sleep overnight and also poorer quality sleep. And I do think that that can lead to worse mental health.
And what were some of the other depressive symptoms that your study noted?
Other than feelings of sadness or loneliness, depression can be more subtle. So that can also lead to just loss of energy or changes in appetite or just loss of interest in other activities. So I do think that depression can present in many different ways in both teenagers and in adults.
Now, your study did show that when kids showed increased symptoms of depression, that did not predict a later increase in social media use, to your point before. So does this simply deepen our understanding of depressed kids' habits? Or if not, what's the takeaway?
Social media is not inherently good or bad. There are some risks and there are some benefits. In terms of benefits, ideally, some kids are able to use social media to connect, communicate with others, and develop good relationships. But I do think that for some youth, it can lead to more depression. And paradoxically, it can lead to more isolation or more feelings of isolation. And the more time you're in front of your screen or your phone, that may replace time that you're actually talking to people in real life face to face. So I do think that if there are warning signs of depression that parents are seeing, or if there's warning signs that phone use or social media use is actually leading to distress, conflict, withdrawal from activities that otherwise your child would be engaging in, those are potentially reasons to ask more about it and potentially get more help.
We're visiting with Dr. Jason Nagata, Associate Professor in the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Pediatrics. He led a research team into social media and kids' depression. The Journal of the American Medical Association's Network Open published the study. Now, let me pick up on this question you were just raising. Broadly speaking, that there's positive social media, if you will, and negative. It seems that kids would choose the good, so to speak, social media because that feels good. So why do they consume any of the quote-unquote bad social media at all?
Some of it is out of our control. I do think that the platforms, you know, they're designed to keep you on them. And so there are addictive qualities to them for not only kids, but for adults. I think we've all experienced it. You know, the algorithms are very smart. They keep you engaged in content that, you know, you've shown based on your search history or your engagement to like. And so there are ways that they really try to keep you on the platform. And so I do think that to some extent, even if you wish not to spend 3 or more hours a day on it, like there are ways that the algorithms, I think, can suck you in. So I don't think it's all just on kids. And, you know, if they had a choice, I think many of them would not, you know, doom scroll. So I do think part of it is in the design as well.
And are these addictive aspects present in, shall we say, favorable social media sites, in addition to the ones that are kind of negative, bad?
I wouldn't even say that there are certain platforms that are favorable or not. I do think that it has to do a lot with the content and the context. So even on a single platform, there could be positive content that makes kids feel connected or, you know, messaging ways that they can connect with peers. But at the same time, the more they're messaging or interacting with people, they could get cyberbullied. They could also have negative interactions that could make them feel worse about themselves. And, you know, when you're being inundated with images and videos of your peers, you know, some of the videos may make you feel good, but some of them may make you constantly compare your own body to another's, and that maybe could lead to lower self-esteem or lower body image. So I think that, you know, it goes both ways. It's a double-edged sword.
You know, doctor, this really reminds me of young people who are abused, physically abused, and they come to a place in time where they think that they cannot break away from the abuser, that it's somehow their fault or that they deserve it. Is there a dimension of that, do you believe? And it's speculation. Is there a dimension of that in why children may remain on some sites that are perhaps more negative than not, even if they know that they should not subject themselves to abuse?
So we actually asked about elements of addiction, and a large proportion of these teenagers did say that they are still using these sites despite the fact that they're trying to quit or they're trying to reduce their use, but they're still using it. So to some extent, they have the intention of reducing their use, but they just can't. You know, there's a lot of element of this fear of missing out. Like, on the one hand, you can get bullied or cyberbullied on the media. But on the other hand, if you're completely off, you know, maybe you're not being seen by your peers, or, you know, there's a big fear of missing out on what's going on.
Now, we have a lot of parents listening to this show. What advice would you, a parent, give them on keeping social media healthy for their kids?
In our study, actually, we found that the top predictor of children's screen use is actually their parents' screen use. So the top advice I have is actually to try to model the behaviors that you want, you know, practice what you preach. And I know it's so hard. I am on my phone a lot, and we actually have a household rule now that at the dinner table, we put phones away and we try to be present. And we actually have the kids help enforce that for the adults. And I think they get a kick out of that because to some extent, we're all struggling with balancing our devices. The other two sort of key times that it may be useful to try to put limits on phones and social media are at bedtime, just because we know of the impacts on sleep. And then also potentially at mealtime, like I had mentioned, if you have time for meals where you can just connect in person, that can just promote connection and conversation. And there also have been studies that show that kids and adults tend to overeat if they're distracted in front of screens.
Very interesting information. And I also understand the American Academy of Pediatrics at healthychildren.org has tools available to help parents and kids, don't they?
Yes, they recommend a family media plan, which is an acknowledgement that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. The rules that you may have for a household depend on the age of your kids, what devices are around, and what you need for communication. So that tool allows you to look at some of the rules, which could include restricting use at bedtime or mealtime, and making it a little bit more personalized for your household and what fits for you.
Again, that's healthychildren.org. Dr. Jason Nagata with the University of California, San Francisco, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a world parched for excitement, one drink will emerge. Twisted Tea, the refreshing thrill ride of flavor. Recreating its classic role as the hard iced tea that goes down smooth. Twisted Tea doesn't just taste like real iced tea, it's made with real brewed tea and a 5% kick of alcohol. Taste the adventure with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
A balanced look at today's most important issues. This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
That efficient clothes dryer in your home is using a lot of energy, but what's the alternative? Should we return to old-fashioned line drying? The results of recent research might surprise you. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the details. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Shelley Miller, professor at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability and professor and co-director of the UM Center for Sustainable Systems. Professor Miller, your study highlights that U.S. household dryers consume about 3% of residential energy, costing over $7 billion annually. What inspired you to focus on clothes dryers as a significant energy and emissions issue?
It turns out that clothes drying is a uniquely American thing. When you go to the rest of the world, clothes drying in houses is actually pretty rare. You see line drying many other places, you know, drying rooms, laundromats, but it's really actually a uniquely American thing to see household dryers in pretty much every home. And since they take up a good bit of energy and money, we decided that we wanted to see what the effects are.
Your research found that 100% line drying could save a household over $2,100 and cut CO2 emissions by more than 3 tons over a dryer's lifetime. Can you walk us through how you calculated those savings?
We really looked at if you had a natural gas dryer in your house and you decide, all right, hey, it breaks, what would actually happen if we went to 100% line drying? And so over the course of the appliance, it probably costs you about $2,100 to operate the natural gas on that. Depending on where you live, if you did an electric dryer, that's going to be either more or less expensive. So it can add up in terms of overall household costs. It's probably not going to be something that you notice in a major way, but it's certainly something that can stack up from an economic perspective. If you're trying to save a little bit on your energy bill every month, thinking about line drying or just drying a little less frequently can potentially add up.
Now, is most of this line drying outdoors? Because certainly in the wintertime in many areas of the country, that might not be so practical.
Exactly. So we did look at a couple of different scenarios. We said, all right, what if you have sort of a clothesline in your house that you set up or one of those drying racks and use that all the time? But we know that that's probably not practical for most people. And so we said, all right, what if you only dry when the weather's nice outside? And what does that look like? And pretty much whenever you don't use the drying service, you get a decent amount of energy and economic savings.
You also mentioned switching from gas to electric dryers could reduce emissions and save some money, but you said it also can be more expensive in some areas. Can you explain all that?
Sure. So one of the other reasons we looked at this study is when we talk about going to environmentally friendly options, we're often tend to get focused on technologies. So is it better to have an electric dryer or a gas dryer? Or what is a more efficient dryer? What does that look like? One of the things we really wanted to explore is saying, well, what if we took technology out of it and just focused on line drying or using the drying service less? Because when you actually get into some of the difficulties of, you know, do you use an electric dryer or a natural gas dryer, it really depends on the part of the country you are. And so it depends on what your electricity service is, how much of it is fossil fuels, and how much of it is renewables.
What are the environmental benefits of this?
A lot of people have asked, you know, why dryers? That just seems like such a random appliance. It turns out that any heating source actually is disproportionately energy intensive. Heating your house is really the energy hog, but water heating and heating air in terms of clothes dryers are actually big energy consumers as well. And so even though it's only maybe 3% of your household energy use, number one, it can add up in your household, but overall across the country, it can add up as well. And so it could result in 27 million tons of carbon dioxide emission equivalents for dryers overall in the U.S. And compared to our overall emissions, that's pretty low, but it's still about 0.5%, which isn't nothing.
And just to kind of wrap things up, is there one key takeaway that you'd like to leave our listeners with from your study?
Yeah, so I think it's just really trying to think through how we consume energy and trying to find the little things in our lives that we can reduce energy, but also not to sweat the small stuff too much.
Professor Shelley Miller from the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack reporters Gina Tedesco and Roy Mackey, and our executive producer, Randy Meyer. I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
This is 105.7 CFW.
Crazy, ready, willing. 1057 CFW.
This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles. How many days in a year she woke up with hope, but she only found tears. And I can be so insincere, making her promises never for real. As long as she stands there waiting, wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes. How many days disappear when you look in the mirror? So how do you choose? Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. You never seem to run out of things to say. This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And why she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles. Now how many lovers would stay just to put up with this every day and all day? How do we wind up this way? Watching our mouths for the words that we say. As long as we stand here waiting, wearing the clothes of the souls that we choose. How do we get there today when we're walking too far for the price of a shoe? Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. But you never seem to run out of things to say. This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looks so sad and lonely there, I absolutely love her when she smiles. She looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her. This is the story of a girl, the pretty face she hid from the world. And while she looks so sad and lonely there, I absolutely love her. This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her.
And more
all weekend long.
I can't quit listening.
This is 105.7 CFW.
Thank you.
pros. Rick Springfield, live. Leonard Skinner, Collective Soul, and more. 105.7 CFW is your official sponsor of Eau Claire Summer Jam 2025. Purchase your tickets at summerjamwi.com. And keep listening for exclusive experiences right here on 105.7 CFW.
The Midwest's newest music event, Summer Jam, is coming June 20th and 21st to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Summer Jam is two big days of music from Everclear, Rick Springfield, live, and Leonard Skinner. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are blue. Summer Jam has more. Marshall Tucker Band, Collective Soul, and the Black Crowes. VIP, general admission tickets, and campsites are on sale. Get yours and check out the full lineup. Go to summerjamwi.com now. Summer Jam 2025 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Go to summerjamwi.com now. Don't miss this party.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Chippewa Valley
weather. I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Isolated showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 50s. High tomorrow in the mid-70s. Monday looks partly sunny and warmer, muggy as well, with scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. Right now it's 58. CFW.
Weekend Long.
I can't quit listening.
This is 105.7 CFW.
You'll say we've got nothing in common, no common ground to start from, and we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us, our lives have come between us, still I know you just don't care. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany's? She said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we got. Come between us. Still, I know you just don't.